Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Michael Milton. And he is a retired seminary president, also seminary professor. He's also a pastor and an author. He's written several books, and his latest book is A Pastoral Guide to the Ordained Ministry. It's called Lord, I Want to Follow Your Call. Dr. Michael Milton, thanks so much for joining us here on Vocal Point.
Well, thank you, Dr. Newcomb, for having me. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Oh, no, you can call me Jerry. Just don't call me late for supper.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right, no problem. So tell us what the origin of this particular book was. Was there some event that happened in your life and you thought, you know, I've got to get this down in a book?
Well, yes, it is something that happened in my life. I think it happens in the lives of all who have been called. But it was more than that. Through the years in theological education as a professor, and I still teach as a professor, I'm a chair of missions and evangelism at Erskine Seminary right now. And I'm often counseling those who feel called to the ministry. And they want to know, how am I called? How does one know that he is called to the ministry? That's one of the questions. What is the biblical doctrine of vocation, of calling? What is the doctrine of ordination? What does it mean to go to seminary? What should I expect? How do you choose a seminary? What should I expect to happen to my spiritual life? Will I lose my relationship with God by studying? Is there a conflict with love and learning? All of these sorts of questions. And then what happens after seminary? How about those first few years of seminary? Not only did I experience all of these questions and experience answers to them existentially, but I sought to study them and provide answers to them for others from the Word of God, as well as from others who have walked that path themselves. And so that's what this book is about, is trying to answer those questions, to help those who are wrestling with the call, to help those who are in seminary, and even to help those who are just leaving seminary and who are in what we call their residential phase of ministry, that first year or two out of ministry.
Well, in your own particular life, what happened with you where you felt perhaps God was indeed calling you, Michael Milton, to be a minister?
Well, as with me, is certainly with, I think, with all, there is the sense of the internal call and the external. And as John Calvin taught, both of those have to be present and both of those have to be validated by others. In my own life, there was an increasing, I'd come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ through evangelism explosion, through Dr. D. James Kennedy. And so I was very zealous to share the gospel with others. And so there was an increasing sense of desire to proclaim, and not only to proclaim, but to shepherd and to pastor, and to more narrowly shepherd in word, sacrament, and prayer. And so that became an internal drive, an internal dream even. But I just didn't feel I was the man. I had been a prodigal child, and there were so many excuses I was giving myself. And so I began to run from it inside of myself, saying there was no way I could be that person. And yet outside, there were those validating it. And so then there came the external call, where there was given me the opportunity to actually go study at South Florida at Knox Seminary, and then to be an intern under Dr. Kennedy. And so there was a veritable parade of providence, if you will, that came together. And that's what has to happen. And that is what happens. both internally and externally, the call is validated in one way or the other. So for myself, my wife, we moved from Kansas to South Florida and completed our seminary education, moved back to Kansas and planted a church, and I felt called to prepare for the teaching ministry. We moved to Wales and began a doctoral program at the University of Wales, and going back and forth across the pond, and that's how it all started.
Huh. And yeah. I remember when you were at Knox Seminary. In fact, you were one of two of the very first students, I believe, of Knox Seminary to graduate, the other being Dr. Sam Lamerson. Good colleague and friend and so forth. Now, but going back to Kansas, if you don't mind, before you ever uprooted and came to South Florida to study under Dr. D. James Kennedy, what were you doing before? Were you in business or something?
I've been a salesman for the Dow Chemical Company, and then I was a manager for the Ashland Chemical Company, and that's what I was doing right before I was called. Before that, I was in intelligence in the Cold War for the Navy. I was a naval intelligence specialist and an Albanian linguist. So I had been studying Albanian at the Defense Language Institute. And Jerry, I got to tell you and your listeners, I remember a time to my shame where I had a drink in one hand, blasphemy coming out of my mouth, wasn't walking with God, and I was saying, why in the world am I learning this blank, forsaken language? Because I joined to see if I could learn German, French, a usable language. And here I am learning Albanian, studying Eastern Europe, spying on communists. Years later, Dr. Kennedy and Coleridge sent me in my middler year of seminary to Albania, because the wall was falling, and I stood on the crumbled remains of Joseph Stalin and preached the gospel in Albanian.
Wow.
So God had a plan, even before I had a plan.
Wow.
And so it's been a remarkable journey.
Yeah, that
as
is...
As it is, I believe, for all who are called to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Hmm.
And that's what this book's about.
Well, I remember there's a quote from, maybe it was Spurgeon. Dr. Kennedy loved this quote, but somehow I associated with you. It was something to this effect. If the Lord has called you to preach, don't stoop to be a king.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Now I've got the table of contents open up to your book, A Theology of Calling, Reflections on Calling, Examples of Calling, The Challenges of a Call, Selecting a Seminary, The Life of a Seminary Family, The Ministry of a Seminarian, and it goes on from there. And let me ask you about your selecting a seminary, because people need to be aware of the fact that there are sheeps and there are wolves and there are wolves among sheeps. And this is really important, because in some of the seminaries, even seminaries with really good names, in reality, there are unbelievers who are essentially trying to make these new recruits unbelievers as well. And can, you know, instead of somebody who comes out to serve Jesus Christ, they're somebody who goes out to serve on the other side.
That's absolutely right. Jerry, whenever I left Kansas City to go to Knox Seminary and to bring my family, which included a 92-year-old aunt who had reared me. I was an orphan raised by my Aunt Eva, and she came with us. My wife was taking care of her. We left a 100% paid seminary scholarship, but the scholarship was to a seminary in the Midwest that did not believe the Bible was the inerrant and the infallible Word of God, who questioned the divinity of Christ. And it only took me one semester of coming home every night frustrated after evening classes, working in the day, going to class at night, for my wife to say, we can't go any more like this. And it was at lunch one day by myself that I asked myself a question. Is seminary about making time in order to get a degree, to punch a ticket to get credentials, or is it about preparing for a ministry for the rest of my life to serve God? And of course, I came to believe that it was the latter, and I withdrew and went to Knox Seminary.
Wow!
And so you were absolutely right.
Never heard that story before, huh?
Yes, I left a full ride scholarship, books, tuition, everything.
Wow!
And turned it down.
And you were about to say there are.
Yes, there are many seminaries with great names, historic names, seminaries who had great reputations and tremendous histories, legacies. But today, how can I recommend that someone go to a seminary which is a formation degree? And let us not be mistaken, this is not a research degree. This is not going to get your later, if you're called to get a PhD or another doctoral or research degree, where you're using just the resources, the library, the other resources. This is formation, mm-hmm. where your teachers are your mentors.
Right.
So it is so terribly important that you train under those mentors.
Amen. All right. Let me quote a little bit from your book here, and I'll have you comment on it. We study Calvin, but do we pray for the anointing that came upon that man of God? We marvel at Luther's courage, but do we pray for it in our own lives? We love to soak up the godly works of the English Puritans, but do we long for their holiness and actually plead with God in earnest prayer that he might bestow such God-besotted language on our tongues? And I could go on, but why don't you comment on that, please?
Well, the concern here is that our lives as seminarians, and certainly also as pastors, must move beyond the academic, must move from studying about them to imitating them, to praying that we might have the anointing that they had. Jerry, I remember so well after graduating from seminary, having a trip, actually going to apply at the university in Britain. And on my way there, I stopped by Spurgeon's tomb, and I remember sitting on a bench there and praying, Lord, would you give me just one strand of cloth from the mantle of Spurgeon? I don't think I could handle any more than that, but one strand of cloth of the power of the anointing of that man. And I remember after finishing the PhD of going to the grave of Richard Baxter in Kidderminster, England, and there at a rose garden at the foot of his statue praying, Lord, will you help me to remember that all education is for the pulpit and for children and to be poured through the narrow channel of pastoral love for little ones and old folks and those who are in the local parish, who are in the pew, who are in need, because that's what that great, great Puritan Richard Baxter did. And so it's a reminder for all of us, whether in seminary studying those great giants of the faith or whether pastors, that our work is always not just to study them, but to imitate them in life and ministry.
And on that thought, we will close, but let me go ahead and remind people on this information. The book that we've been talking about is by Dr. Michael Milton, Lord, I Want to Follow Your Call, A Pastoral Guide to the Ordained Ministry. More information is available, including how to get the book at michaelmilton.org. Dr. Milton, thanks so much for joining us. God bless you, sir.
My pleasure, Jerry. Thank you, sir.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.